way back in August, just a few weeks ago, a very dear friend of mine, I say a very dear friend of mine, I was actually his Sunday school teacher way back in the 50s. And I can see Val looking at me, and she will know who I speak about. And little Brian, as he was then, is now a retired Church of England minister. And even though, like me, he's retired, there are those who don't want him to be retired. And the vicar of the church in whose parish he now lives in the Midlands will say to him, Brian, I'm going on holiday, you are preaching on Sunday. And Brian, from some time to time, he will contact me and say, look, can you give me a few little hints and can you help me? And I had such a request from him in August. He was going to preach on Matthew chapter 7, the narrow way teaching, enter by the narrow gate. And he sent me just a pricey of the way he was thinking. And I was struck by some of the things that he said. And in a way, it latches on to what we were saying this morning. He castigates the liberal clergy for their false teaching and for the way in which they try to reinterpret the Bible and massage the Bible to make it easy for people to think that they are Christians. And he says this, and this is where it latches on to what we were saying this morning. He said, clergy fail to teach that Christ is God. Well, now you say, there are some good men in the Church of England. He said, clergy, some of his own fellow clergy, he said, they fail to teach that Christ is God, our Saviour, and it is he who can forgive our sins. And he said, and we read about the wolves in sheep's clothing, these false teachers in Matthew 7. And he said this, he said, the liberal clergy, they slacken the rules and they try to reinterpret God's word and massage the biblical teaching to make it easier for people to think that they are believers. And he says they'd rather do that than tell people that their lifestyle is wrong and that they need to repent of their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was part of the sermon, the outline that he sent to me for comment. And his punchline at the very bottom, he said, it is this. He said, it is the sinner that needs to change, not the Bible. Now we can all say amen to that, I'm sure. It is the sinner that needs to change, not the Bible. And my friends, if there's someone here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, you have not yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the Bible that needs to change to suit your needs. It's you that needs to change to fit in with what the Bible teaches. Well, having asked me to help him and to give him some thoughts on his sermon in Matthew chapter 7 and the narrow way teaching set me thinking about that again and going through the whole passage. I know that perhaps some 10, 11 years ago I preached on it here, and I'm going to preach on it again tonight because I've been doing some work on it and going over my notes and changing things and introducing new thoughts and hopefully in a way that will be a help and a blessing to us. You see, Christians are often accused of being narrow or narrow-minded, and that's especially the case these days, in these days of political correctness, where we're not supposed to publicise our religious beliefs and make known that we are Christians. We're told we must hide those things and stop being so narrow-minded about all these things. Well, of course, none of us wants to be narrow-minded and bigoted in the wrong sense. And we need to distinguish between that kind of narrow-mindedness, which is rooted in self-righteousness, and the narrow way of life to which the Lord Jesus calls us. The Christian is narrow because he believes the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to live by these teachings. He's narrow-minded, he's as narrow as the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Just think this, you imagine a motorist, and he's driving along and he's obeying the speed limit and he's obeying all the road signs, he's halting where he has to halt, and he's, in every respect he's being obedient to the rules of the road. Now, is he being narrow-minded? Of course not. Or imagine a sportsman. He plays by the rules of the games, and he sticks to the rules of the game and the sport that he plays. Is he being narrow-minded? Of course not. And so the Christian ought to be as narrow as the Bible is narrow. And we have this striking statement made by Jesus in our text. Enter by the narrow gate. And therefore we do need to sort of remind ourselves that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the way of life to which it calls us, they are narrow. And we must not make them so broad that they become meaningless and no different to the ungodly world. We must not make the message of the Bible fit in with the world's standards. It's not the Bible that needs to change, as my friend said, it's the sinner. And so the message of the gospel calls us out of the world's ways. The gospel of Jesus Christ makes demands upon people, both as to what we believe and also as to the kind of lives we live. Narrowness is an outstanding characteristic of the Christian life. And the prayer of every true Christian ought to be, loving shepherd ever near, teach me now thy voice to hear. Suffer not my steps to stray from the straight and narrow way. So we come to this text that I want to bring to you tonight in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. That is, enter the kingdom of heaven by the narrow gate. What Jesus is saying here is that if you would enter the kingdom of heaven, then you must go out of your way. You must go out of your way to become narrow. Enter by the narrow gate. And that is because the Christian gospel really is narrow. It is narrow. You can't get away from that. The Christian gospel does not say to all and sundry, it doesn't matter how you live, and it doesn't matter what you believe, you can still be a Christian and enter heaven. No, no, no. That's what the false clergy are teaching, as my friend has indicated. No, quite the contrary. These things do matter, what you believe and how you live. They do matter. And the gospel calls us to a narrow way. The way of entering the Christian life is narrow. And it is very important that this is emphasised. Becoming a Christian is far more than just simply come to Jesus and all will be well. That sort of teaching does not address the greatest and the deepest need of men and women as sinners. Neither does it address what lies at the heart and soul of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To tell people that they just need to come to Jesus, and all will be well, produces Christians who are no different from the world. And it is not what the Lord Jesus taught. He shows that salvation is no easy, cozy option. Becoming a Christian means becoming something exceptional and out of fashion with the world. It means a radical breaking with the world. It means becoming narrow. Now, the first word used here in verse 13 by Jesus is simply the word meaning narrow. He says, enter by the narrow gate, or strait, as the Authorised Version puts it, enter by the narrow strait. We speak of the Strait of Dover or the Strait of Gibraltar, and in that sense a strait is a narrow passage of water connecting two seas. If you want to go from the English Channel into the North Sea, then you pass through the Strait of Dover. And Jesus here in our text speaks of that narrow strait, which is the only way from this world to heaven. And Jesus enforces his call to enter in at the narrow gate with two considerations, and we'll just look at them. The first of these is found in the remaining words of verse 13, where he says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that entering in at the narrow gate is the only way of escaping hell. The eternal safety of one's soul depends upon entering in at the strait or narrow gate. You must separate from the crowds who are flocking to hell along the Broadway. You see that Jesus uses two words which describe the way to hell. One is the word broad, and the other is the word wide. Wide is the gate and broad is the way. When we look closely at these two words, we find that there is a very interesting difference. First of all, wide is the gate simply means wide or broad. You know, it's pretty wide and there's plenty of room, ample room to get through. That's just the simple word, simple meaning to it. But when we come to the other one, broad the way, and that is a more interesting word, as well as signifying wide or broad, it has an added significance, the significance of being spacious as the countryside. It is so broad that people may cart through it anything they please. And this, of course, is the popular way. This is why the liberal clergy play up to the crowd, because they're making it easy for people. You don't have to give up this, you don't have to give up that, you don't have to give up the other. You can live any way you like, you know, as long as you've come to church and blah, blah, blah. No. These things do matter. But this is the popular way. This is the way of the crowds. This is the way of the sinner. And Jesus says that many go in by it. This is the popular gate. People are crowding through it. Yes, Jesus says many go in by it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. And the crowds are captivated by its allurements. And the sad thing is that so many look at the broad, easy gate to get through, and the spacious passage that lies ahead of it, with its liberal lifestyle and all its pleasures, and along which they may take anything they like, but they do not consider where it is leading. All my friends, it leads to hell. That's the first consideration that Jesus brings to enforce the urgency of entering in by the narrow gate. The second consideration Jesus adds to his call to enter by the narrow gate is found in verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now you'll see again that Jesus uses the two words, the narrow gate, which is the same as we had in verse 13, and then we have difficult the way. And here we have the verb to squeeze, difficult the way. That's the significance of the expression, to squeeze. Its root meaning is to crush or to press. And we have the same word in Mark chapter 3 and verse 9. Jesus had withdrawn to the sea with his disciples, and a great multitude from all over the place came to him. So Jesus told his disciples to have a small boat ready because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. That's the word, lest they should crush him. And that's the word used here by Jesus. So, in our text, the narrow gate leads to a compressed way, a way that is tight, that is difficult, that is demanding, that is limiting. It is a way that is so narrow that you cannot take all the baggage of the old sinful life with you. You cannot ride into it with all your sins, your self-righteousness, your false ideas, and your foolish habits. You cannot get through the gate with it all. It's too narrow. Not only is it a narrow or straight gate by which we enter heaven, it is also a difficult way. And you know, it starts narrow, but it doesn't get easier. The Christian life doesn't get easier along the way. My friends, it's a narrow way, all the way, that leads to everlasting life. We sang Isaac Watts's hymn just now. He calls it a straight and thorny road. I don't go along with those preachers who say that becoming a Christian is easy. The gospel message itself is simple and uncomplicated, that even a small child can understand it and believe it. But becoming a Christian makes demands. It makes great demands. Believe not those who say, the upward path is smooth, lest thou should stumble on the way and faint before the truth. It is the only road unto the realms of joy, but he who seeks that blessed abode must all his powers employ. And so Jesus says, there are few who find it. There are few who find it. There are few who travel on this narrow way. The wide gate does not need to be found. It is easily drifted into by simply doing what everybody else is doing. But the narrow gate has to be found. It has to be looked for. And you have to go out of your way to find it. You don't just drift into it like people drift into the wide way. So do you ask, where will I find this gate? Where will I find it? Well, let me tell you where you will find it. You will find it only in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't yet found it, by being here tonight and listening to God's word, you are well placed to finding it. The question I must ask is this: have you found it? Have you found it? Now, these are fearful truths. They're not the ideas of a man, and certainly not the ideas of this man. They are the teachings of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Should they not cause each one of us to search our hearts? Which way am I going? Through which gate have I passed, and along which road am I travelling? Am I on the narrow way that leads to heaven? Have I passed through that narrow gate? Or am I on the way that leads to everlasting hell? Have I passed through the wide and broad gate? Which way, upon which road am I going? Oh, my friend, you must never expect to get to heaven except in the narrow and compressed way. So many expect to get to heaven by the wide, easy way, the way of self-indulgence, the way of rejecting the more rigorous and demanding parts of religion. They think the Bible is too narrow and needs to be edited and updated to fit in with the modern world in which we live. They don't want the way of self-denial. They don't want the way of self-discipline. They don't want to take up the cross and follow Christ. But they still hope to go to where Christ is. They hope to get to heaven on the broad road. But the broad way doesn't and never will lead to heaven. Now, as you know, I spent some years in the Royal Air Force and worked very closely with air crews on active service in the Malay War and throughout the Far East. And my responsibilities were to see that air crews were properly briefed on the reliability and serviceability of various landing facilities, runways and runway lights and radar and all the landing systems that are there. And from time to time I would go out with the air crews and fly across the Far East and on operational missions over the Malayan jungle. Now, the pilot of an aircraft, he must stick to a narrow corridor if he is to land where he intends to land and where he is planned to land. The pilot of an aircraft cannot just say, oh, we'll just go here, go there, and oh, there's a field there, and we'll go there. No, no, no. He has to stick strictly to a narrow corridor in the air and obey the signals that are coming from the electronic equipment that shows him exactly the right direction he should be in, and which will lead him down not onto a wide grass field, but onto a narrow runway. And only when the wheels touch down on that narrow runway has he landed safely. Had he thought to himself, oh, I've got all the space of the wide sky to fly in, he would spell disaster. No, he sticks to the straight and the narrow way, which leads him down onto the safety of that narrow runway. My friends, if you think that you can get to heaven by just living your life any way you think and doing anything you like, then you are on the way to hell, because the only way to heaven is that straight and narrow way, and only along that straight and narrow way will you land safely on the runway of heaven. Now, we have therefore in these words of Jesus a call to action. Jesus uses an imperative. He says, enter. In other words, what we have here is something we have to do something about. Do you remember when Jesus met Matthew the tax collector? He didn't say to Matthew, "Oh, Matthew, it would be nice to have you coming along with me." No, he didn't. He said to Matthew, he said, "Follow me. Follow me." The imperative. It was a call to do something. A call to immediate action. To abandon his old lifestyle and follow Jesus and become a disciple and a learner of Jesus. And so Jesus says to men and women today, to boys and girls and young people, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate." It's no use coming to the narrow gate and leaning on it and saying, "What a wonderful historic old gate this is. What a beautiful pathway and all that lovely scenery on the other side of the gate and so on." No. It's a pathway that must be tread. The gateway must be passed through. We must enter by the narrow gate in order to be saved. I wonder if someone here does say, "Well, yes, I can see what you're getting at. And from what you say, it's clear to me that I am on the broad way that leads to hell, and I want to get off it and enter the narrow gate. What must I do to be saved?" Well, let me tell you, you enter in at the narrow gate by repenting of your sin and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me ask you a question. What makes you realise that in your present condition you are on the way to hell? Do you see yourself to be a sinner before God? Do you feel convicted of your sin and guilt? Do you have a sense of shame for your sin? That you've sinned against the all-holy and wise and loving God? Do you have a sense of the odiousness of sin? And do you have a heartfelt longing to be rid of it? Oh, how you long to be rid of the burden of sin. Oh, if only that burden would roll off your back. Oh, my friends, Jesus died on the cross and he shed his precious blood for such as you. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So you want to know where you can find that narrow way that leads to everlasting life? Well, Jesus is that way. He is the gate. "I am the door," he said. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." "I am the way," he said, "the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And it is to enter that narrow way that the Lord Jesus calls you tonight. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Are you tonight then among the many that are thronging the broad way to hell? Or are you to be found among the few who are following the narrow way to heaven? The scripture says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And my friend, if you hear the voice of Jesus tonight saying to you, "Enter by the narrow gate," oh my friend, enter and be saved. Take a few more steps along the broad way, and you may be forever too late. Or hell is so near, but Christ is at hand to save you. Oh, hurry, my friend, to him, for the time is far spent. You have no time to waste. Enter the straight gate and the narrow way and be saved. Let us sing our closing hymn.